Grace to you and peace this morning from God, our Creator, and from our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I'd like to look with you at a story in the Bible, Mark chapter 5, the story of the woman who had the flow of blood for 12 years, and see what we can learn there about healing, about Jesus, and about the power of God's kingdom. And so, when you're in distress, if you have an illness of the body of some kind, or if you have an illness of the mind, a fear and anxiety, or if you have an illness of the spirit, some addiction to sin or bondage, is there hope for you? Is there hope for you when the doctors can't necessarily help you, when their medications fail? Well, let's see today what God would teach us about Jesus, about healing, and about the power of God's kingdom today through this story. The woman with the flow of blood, Mark chapter 5. See what God would teach us there. We'll read it, and then we'll explain it and look into it. So Mark chapter 5, I'm beginning in verse 25. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. That's a long time, isn't it? She'd suffered much under many doctors and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather she grew worse. And she heard reports about Jesus. And so she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If even I touch his garments, I shall be made well." And immediately the hemorrhage ceased, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone forth from him, immediately turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said, "What? You see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, 'Who touched my garments?'" And his disciples didn't understand that, and he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, be healed of your disease." This is the wonderful word of our Lord. There's a story then of the woman who had the flow of blood for 12 years. What's God want to teach us about it and by it? Well, first of all, we learn from Scripture this wonderful piece of truth: doctors don't know everything. Amen? They're wonderful gifts of God to us, but God puts this in the Scriptures, I think, as a message for his people for all time about despairing, because we read here, there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all the money that she had, and she was no better, but rather worse. Now, I love that God put this in the Scriptures for us to teach us that there are always going to be cases where doctors can't handle, that they're out of their league, and that they're above their pay grade. Now, this is an important point for us, I think, today, because our Scripture, our society, our culture that we live in, I think, tends to worship doctors. You know, if a doctor says something, that's the final word. You know, Dr. Oz says this and such, and Dr. So-and-so says this on the news, and hey, you can't argue with him because he's the doctor, right? And we take that same thing into doctors' offices in the hospital. If they say they can't help you, you're as good as dead, because the doctor is the final authority, after all, and they're treated like gods in our culture. Sort of, it seems like after we got through the age of enlightenment, the age of reason, the age of science, God is no longer in the picture. It's doctors and science alone can fix all of our earthly ills. Not even understanding that there are sometimes even spiritual elements to sicknesses that doctors can't handle, not to mention physical things that they don't understand. But God is teaching us here, doctors don't know everything. Now, I'm not saying by this that doctors are not gifts of God to us. I believe they are. I believe God works through doctors and their blessings. Do you know that much of the New Testament is written by a doctor, a physician, Luke? He was called the beloved physician by Paul in Colossians 4:14. God works through doctors, and we thank him for that. And I remember, if I may say less, when he had his stint in his heart, you know, they just had a little tiny dot right there, right? went through with a scope, put it in, came out, no scar, just a tiny little dot. I think that's amazing that God's given doctors that kind of insight. Do you know that even in ancient times, I was learning this week, that in Tibet, there's evidence of them doing craniotomies, brain surgeries, 2,900 years ago. 2,900 years ago. They weren't stupid. They weren't all witch doctors shaking rattles over your heads. They were smart, although they didn't know what we know today. And doctors today aren't stupid. They have great advances, and we thank God for how he works through doctors. But they don't know everything, and they're not gods. And I think that God has perhaps given my wife the great ministry of humbling doctors of all fields. You know, we've been to doctors of all fields, some of them great guys. Some of them have been very arrogant and looking down their nose as all know-it-alls to Beth. But they've been left scratching their heads about her. You have diabetes. It is on the report. A year later, where is it? We can't find it. You have neuropathy. That's irreversible. A couple months later, it disappears. I remember our doctor who delivered Naomi and how he sat down next to us finally after trying to get Beth into labor for weeks. And he finally sat down and said, I have only had two cases in my 32 whatever years of doing this that I've not been able to induce a woman into labor. You, Beth, are the second. I don't know what to do. So she has the great ministry, at least partially, of teaching doctors that they don't know everything. And in fact, God teaches that to us in the scriptures. And so what is God teaching us about this? Well, as it was then, so it is now. There are many people who've spent all their money, been to all the doctors. They're not getting better, but they're rather growing worse. And God teaches us here, in those cases, don't despair, my children. Doctors don't know everything. They're not gods. But there is another doctor. We're not done yet. You can go to a higher one, namely, and who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus is called in the Bible the great physician. Amen? Right? We hear about that. Physician, heal thyself. And you can look to the great physician Jesus in all of your life's healings, whether it be through the doctors or apart from the doctors and above and beyond the doctors, because he is a healing doctor. Jesus is. Do you know he loves to heal? That's one of the main reasons he came, that the New Testament is filled with him recovering people's bodies, as well as especially their spirits and souls. And this woman, who had the flow of blood for 12 years, heard this about Jesus, these stories. It says she had heard reports about Jesus, and that's why she came. What reports do you think she heard? Maybe she heard the story about when Jesus, remember, he goes to Simon Peter's house and his mother-in-law is ill with a fever. And Jesus goes up and he says, he rebukes the fever and it left her. And immediately she rose and served them. So he heals with a word. Now, you men out there, just as a little aside, he didn't rebuke the mother-in-law. He rebuked her fever. So don't rebuke your mother-in-laws, rebuke their fevers. But he heals fevers with a word. And we see how he opens the eyes of the blind. He makes lame people run and leap. He puts his fingers into the ear of a deaf man who can't hear, and he speaks, and he hears. And to someone who can't speak, and he speaks. And we read this, perhaps you heard this, in Matthew chapter 8. It says, that evening they brought to Jesus many who were possessed with demons. Occasionally, or not occasionally, but sometimes there's a correlation between demons and diseases. And he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. And so this woman had heard this stuff, and she says, if only even I can touch this man's garments, I'm going to be healed. I shall be made well. And so what's God teach us in Scripture then about hope? Was this woman's hope justified? God teaches us it was well-founded and that her faith was not in vain, for Jesus, indeed, we see, healed her. I want to ask you, do you believe that God's kingdom is a kingdom of mere talk or of power? Power, right? And when you say that, is it just a word you're saying power? You know that's the right answer? Or do you really believe it is power? God, his kingdom is a kingdom of power. I shall be made well. She touches his garment, and she had probably what was called today hemophilia, where she has a flow of blood. It doesn't clot. It continues to flow. And so one thing we know she didn't need was Coumadin, right? Y'all know what Coumadin, well, some of you know what Coumadin is. She didn't need that. She was flowing, very thin, whatever, couldn't clot. And what happens is when she touches Jesus, the molecular or whatever structure of her blood is redeemed. It's just changed and it's made right. And he has the power to do that for ears and for bodies of and parts of all kinds. We see in his ministry, he heals and just restructures them molecularly because he's the God, of course, through whom all these things were made in the first place. I want to ask you to believe that God's kingdom is a kingdom of power. We learn here, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. We also learn in Timothy, in the letter there, that in the last days there'll be those who hold the form of religion but deny the power of it. All right? Let's not deny the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Check this out. We have a great temptation and in our day and age not to believe in the power of God, that Christianity is really talk and it's mere talk. Pastor shows up at the hospital, and he's not expected to heal the patient, but he can give some words of comfort. Nobody looks to him to heal or a Christian to heal, right? That's pretty much the case. Yeah, we'll pray for you, and we believe through that, but where's this power? Do you believe in it? God wants us to believe in it. But I think we can tend, even in our church, perhaps even especially as Lutherans, perhaps, to deny the power of God. And let me tell you what I mean by that, okay? You want to be a pastor. What do? You go to seminary. What do? You sit in class, you learn Greek and Hebrew, and if you memorize well, you're on your way to being a pastor, right? And then you hear what so-and-so theologian said and so-and-so theologian said. If you write a good paper with good words, you get an A+. You're really on your way to being a pastor. And then if you continue going along and do it well enough, you get a high grade point average and everybody gives you a great round of applause and good cheer. And then eventually you get a piece of paper, right? And here is my, I don't even know what this is, but it's important, okay? Here's my Master of Divinity, Magistri Divinitatis. All right, we got to put in Latin to make it really cool. And then here's my ordination certificate that I was actually certified that I was ordained. And so we get these pieces of paper that show I'm qualified. And I'm not saying these aren't important. Sorry, it shows how much I care. Sorry. Not that these aren't important for us and to go through these things orderly and learn Greek and Hebrew and what theologians say. But if that's all it is, and it's an academic exercise and pieces of paper, and then I come here and have you sit down in rows and just make you get the right answers, we're denying the power of it, right? I mean, these are all important. The kingdom of God is preaching and words, but the words are full of the power to cast out devils out of people and even to heal diseases. The prayer of faith will save the sick man, James chapter 5. And that we bring people from darkness into light and from hell to heaven and from the kingdom and power of Satan to the kingdom and power of Christ. So let's not forget today that our God is a God of power, and we have power in the preaching of the word. Micah says, but as for me, I'm filled with power. Say power.
Power.
And with the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression. There's power in baptism. Peter says in 1 Peter 3, baptism, which corresponds to Noah's being saved through the flood. By the way, this new movie about Noah and Russell Crowe, I heard there's not even a mention of God in it. Wouldn't really recommend that. Baptism, Peter says, now saves you. There's power in it. There's power in the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 10. It's a communion with the body and blood of Christ. And if you misuse it, the power actually works against you, and you can actually get weak and ill and die, 1 Corinthians 11. There's power in the gospel. It is, Paul says, the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. If you touch Jesus' garment, the gospel that is, by faith, you're saved. And you go into the inheritance forever. There's power in the Christian. Behold, stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Who is that? That'd be the Holy Spirit, right? Power inside of you. Paul prays that the Ephesians might know the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believed, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Do you believe right now that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and brought him back to life in his body is at work inside of you? Paul prays that you may know such things and that the kingdom of God is not mere academic work, it's not mere words, it's not talk, but power, and power in the word of God. And so, remember, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So when earthly doctors fail you, we're not done yet, children, says God. There is another doctor, Jesus Christ. He'll help you. He'll comfort you. He'll give you endurance while you're going through your suffering. And in the end, he's going to heal you completely. He promises either in this life or in the life to come. And how did that power come into this woman? You know the answer. Through her faith, right? She says, and Jesus actually concludes, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, be healed of your disease. But she was healed prior to that, which he acknowledges. And what was her statement before she touches? If I even touch his garments, I shall be made well. That's a statement of faith, right? Certainty. If I do this, then I will be healed. And so, remember Jesus here, we got crowds pressing upon him. He turns around, he feels power go forth. She feels the power in her body. And he's like, who touched me? And his disciples are like, a whole crowd's touching. What are you talking about? No, someone touched me in a special way. That is by faith. And it's by faith that the power poured into her. You know this happens in your body to heal you? There are supernatural things God works today, right? Does he still heal today? People on our prayer list, we take off a lot of times because they're healed from dire situations. How about Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever? What's that teach you? He's doing the same things today as he did then through his people. He heals especially our souls. And remember to that woman who was... who had an ailment not of the body but of her soul, who fell at his feet and wiped her feet with her tears and hair. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. The power of salvation came to cleanse her through faith. Let it be known to you, therefore, brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and that by him everyone that believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, friends? Yes. That power then touches you and frees you to eternal life. Praise God. Amen. You already got the healing. You already got it. And we're a lot of us still waiting on the healing of our body, like my car. Sure, the engine will run for another 100,000 miles. The frame is rusting out. But even God can heal our frames of our bodies. For is any among you sick, says James, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. So let's pray for each other. And in fact, 12 to 1 o'clock on Tuesdays, we're doing prayer every week now for a whole hour. Come on in here, just a few of us. We'll anoint you with oil and we'll pray for you. And elders, come along and let's pray for us, because that's the prayer of faith will save, according to Scripture. And God's ultimate healing, of course, is our bodies, the resurrection of the dead, right? What is sown is perishable, right? Our bodies are like old banana peels or old bananas. They look good for a while. They come into their own. They got their glory. And after a little while, eesh. They mush. They no look so good no more. Well, that's with our bodies. They're perishable, but they're going to be raised imperishable, says God. They're sown now in dishonor, but they're going to be raised in glory, sown in weakness. They're going to be raised in power. And so you have a great hope ahead of you if you're suffering today. God is going to heal your body. He promises to do it on the last day, if not healing you along this life as well. But he's going to make you, he is going to finish what he started and make and redeem every part of your body and make it perfect like his own body for all eternity. Isn't that great? Amen. He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more. There'll be no more crying nor pain, nor mourning nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he'll say, behold, I make all things new. And you're going to be perfect. In the meantime, does that mean that every disease a Christian ever gets in this life will be instantly healed supernaturally? Some churches teach that. That it's a done deal, and if you're not healed, that your faith is at fault. That you should be ashamed of yourself, and that God has forgotten you, as is taught in some churches, unfortunately. Answer is no, that's not what it means. Sometimes we suffer for our sins, a sickness. Sometimes just because we live in a fallen world. And sometimes for righteousness' sake. Remember Job? Did he get sick? Remember the last plague upon him from Satan was boils and pains. And he was miserable in body. Not for any sin, nothing he'd done wrong. He prayed to get rid of it. It didn't happen till later. So don't think that it's your fault or your it's all you and you should feel bad for yourself that you weren't healed instantly. Job suffered for righteousness' sake. That was a good thing. God had a great purpose in it. Galatians 4, Paul says, you know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, he didn't scorn or despise me, but treated me as an angel of God, etc. Notice, Paul was sick. He says, I had a bodily sickness, a weakness. That's how I got to preach the gospel at first. He doesn't attribute it necessarily to, hey, my faith wasn't strong enough. He says, through that, it actually enabled me to preach. And that's a beautiful thing. Do you think God uses, like Beth, when she has a sickness and she goes to a doctor and they can't heal her, and they throw their hands up and they say, I don't know what to do, and yet she praises God and says cheerfully, God is with me and he's going to help me. See how that witness goes out through her sickness? Do the same thing with you. How about this? Should we cast out a devil every time there's a disease? Well, a lot of diseases do come from devils. You know, remember the woman with the flow, that bent over, couldn't straighten herself, 18 years, Satan bound her, had a spirit of infirmity. Jesus says, goes after the devil that was doing that. But not every case. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. He doesn't say, Timothy, you stink as a Christian. You have a terrible faith. You should be ashamed of yourself. God's forgotten you. You got a devil. No, he doesn't say that. He says, how about a little wine? And let that medicate and ease your stomach. That's okay. Sometimes through medicine. Sometimes we do need to cast out a devil and have a deliverance. But in all cases, God is going to heal you. He's not going to leave his children unhealed forever. Believe me, he ain't going to do it. He's going to heal you. And he'll make you perfect in his timing, and hopefully sooner rather than later for your sake. But rejoice in this, that his kingdom is not a kingdom of talk, but of power. Power. Twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, says David. Right? And to the Lord belongs steadfast love. And he's going to be with you in the meantime. One more point here from this story is that notice he always has time for us. And our God makes house calls. Where was Jesus when he healed this woman that had a flow of blood for 12 years? He's on the street, he's walking along. What was the context? He just got a word from a man named Jairus, who was the leader of a synagogue, and his daughter was dying. She's at the point of death. She has moments left, minutes, hours. He doesn't know. Come quickly. Jesus is on his way there. Then the woman comes and touches him. And he stops, turns around, when it should be urgent. I can see Jairus in the corner saying, come on now, hurry up, we can deal with her later, my daughter. But he's like, no, we have time for this. Daughter, your faith has saved you, go in peace. You are healed of your disease. He gets to the house, the daughter's dead, She's not dead but sleeping. You're crazy, they all say. They laugh at him. Come on in here, Peter, James, and John. Parents, come on in here. Girl, Talitha Kumi, I'd say to you, arise. And she is raised from the dead. God's never going to be late, and he has the power. But notice God makes house calls. And he had time for the woman with the flow of blood. He had time for the daughter who died and was raised. He has time for all these people. He has time for you. He's not going to forget you. He is the good doctor with the perfect, what do you call that? Bedside manner, right? He cares about you, and his purpose is to heal you, and he's going to do it. And may God heal you in this life. His kingdom is not a talk, a mere talk, but power, baptism, Lord's Supper, preaching of the word, casting out demons, changing lives, saving souls, darkness to light, to bring us into an inheritance and a destiny in heaven. These things we do, and God does for us and through us and in us to others. And on the cross, he took our infirmities and bore our diseases. The love of God. Let it be known to you, therefore, that brethren, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and healing, by the way. And by him, everyone that believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. In Jesus' name, amen.